Good morning. I've entitled the messages God laid on my heart this morning as a godly and usable. You know, some of our greatest hindrances that keep us from being all that God calls us to be and wants us to be ends up being our lifestyle and our availability of being used. And believe you me, it takes both. You know, we can be available and yet completely unfit for service. Or we can live lives that may be fit to be used and have a spirit that keeps us unavailable for God's using. And I believe both are equally as bad. You know, today we're going to look from our text and see that God is going to only use those that He knows He's going to be able to use. If you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Luke's where I'm going to be this morning, Luke chapter 1. Starting in verse 26, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. I'm going to go ahead and read down through this, and then I'll get into the message. The Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. An angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray as we get into your word this morning, Lord, I pray you would just open up our hearts and our minds, Lord, to what you have for us. God, I pray you'd grant me voice. Lord, I pray my words, my thoughts, Lord, would be yours. Lord, I pray that you'd open up the hearts and the ears of those that are here this morning, Lord, and you'd be able to speak to them directly. God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the examples of the different characters throughout your word, Lord, that just bring to life, Lord, your ministry in their lives. God, I pray that you would be blessed and you'd be honored, Lord, with our time here this morning. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. First thing I want to look at this morning is this was a surprise visit from Gabriel, was it not? Go with me to the 26th verse, and the Bible says, you know, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. An angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among the women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation it should be. You know, before we can go into the text, we've got to recap, you know, what's been happening up until this point. For starters, Elizabeth, her cousin, she's been unable to, you know, become pregnant. And in her old age, the Lord has blessed her with what would seem to be the impossible. And where we're picking up our text this morning, you know, the events we're looking at, you know, are taking place, you know, 6 months into her pregnancy. And the Bible tells us that God sent Gabriel to meet with a special young lady in Nazareth. You know, Gabriel's the same angel who spoke to Daniel about the coming of the Messiah. He's the same angel that appeared to Elizabeth and Zacharias. Now he was meeting with the woman that was already spoken for as far as Joseph was concerned. But what she was going to find out that was God had a special plan for her. You know, something else, you know, I believe it's neat here is the Bible is very specific in pointing out that she was a descendant of David. A very important thing, you know, because the prophet Isaiah had prophesied of this very thing. And it would appear, you know, it's prophesied, you know, that the Messiah would come through the line of David through a virgin. And it would appear, you know, God had found the perfect woman. But you know something else worth noting? We'll look at it this morning, but if you want to read later on today, go to the chapter 1 of Matthew. We see Joseph was also from the line of David. You know, his lineage, you know, didn't matter as far as, you know, what God was doing here, but it did in the big picture, you know, because man would have no reason to doubt, you know, that their son was a descendant of David. There could never be any criticism. There's no contradiction. But something else that you need to take note of here is that, you know, she was a spouse to this man named Joseph. An espousal in biblical times, you know, was not as easy as calling off an engagement of today. It was a legal contract for the two to marry in a year, you know, and it could only be dissolved through a divorce. And this espousal period would last for the entire year, but the couple wouldn't be living together. They'd be living in separate homes. And this is the time period when this visit took place. You know, the Bible doesn't specifically state it here, other than telling us that she was a little troubled. But you can almost imagine the surprise that Mary would have felt as all of a sudden Gabriel appears in her presence. I can only assume that she was by herself when he did. But I can also almost guarantee you that she knew he wasn't just an everyday Joe. And she knew before he began to speak that he had to be nothing other than a messenger from God. And he tells her, he said, you know, Mary, I want you to know that you found favor in God's eyes. God has seen you blessed above all women. And he's with you. You know, as he's telling her all this, her mind is racing a million miles an hour. That's awesome. Why are you telling me all this? You know, it made her question, you know, what this visit was all about. You got to know, you know, our minds have the ability to work overtime real easy. Especially when we don't fully understand a situation and we really don't get the details. And that's where she was at the onset of this conversation. Because it wasn't customary, you know, for a man to address a woman, in this manner, let alone a messenger from God. And the more she thought about, you know, what he had told her, no doubt the more questions would have been flooding her mind. Why am I so favored? Why would he choose to bless me above all other women? You know, that would have been a pretty high order. And for that, she would have been confused. You know, and what she didn't get at this point, what she didn't understand, was that God not only found a qualified woman for this task, but he knew he'd also found one who'd be faithful to carry it out. Go with me down to the 30th verse. Gabriel, he reveals the news to her. He says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David, his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." You know, he speaks again, and this time, you know, he tells her, you know, not to fear again, because he said, you found favor in God's eyes. Mary, this is great news. It was a good thing. But that he told her this, you know, in the onset, because, you know, what he had for her, the message that he had for her, was going to floor her, to say the least. You know, he tells her, he said, you know, for starters, he said, you're going to conceive a son in your womb, and you're going to call his name Jesus. No doubt, you know, she'd heard prophecy, you know, about the Messiah being born of a virgin. You know, and you got to know at some point during this conversation, all that would be starting to click just a little bit. But as even though with that clicking, you know, she still would have had been somewhat stunned that she was the one. Out of all the women of Israel, God had chosen her. You know, Gabriel refers to an Old Testament prophecy out of the book of Isaiah and begins to describe this child that she would give birth to. He said, "Oh, Mary, he's going to be great." He would be the best child, not only that she'd give birth to, that she'd ever have the privilege of raising. No doubt the more that she would hear, the more her head would begin swimming. And Gabriel tells her, he said, you know, God's going to give him the throne of David and he's going to have it forever. And after listening to Gabriel's description of this child, Mary has a very logical question. Said, how's all this going to take place? Means I've never known a man. I don't believe that she was doubting here, you know, what she was just told, but she wanted to know how this was all going to happen. Because I believe, you know, if this would have been words of doubt, you know, God wouldn't have chosen her in the first place. God knew ahead of time how she was going to respond to this news. And that was what made her a perfect candidate for the task. Let me ask you something. How many times, I don't believe any of us want to answer this, but how many times have we rendered ourselves unusable due to the way we respond to God when He calls us? Think about that for a moment. As inconceivable as everything was sounding here, the angel had answered a question. He had an answer to her question. He said, "Don't worry about it, Mary. That it's not going to be a man. But the very Spirit of God's going to come over you instead." In other words, Mary, don't worry about it. God has it. Don't sweat the small stuff. God's already figured out what He's going to do here. Your pregnancy is going to be all of God. You know, so many times, I believe we end up worrying about things the Lord already has under control. Did you ever think about that? There's absolutely nothing that comes into our life that takes Him off guard that He doesn't already know about. And how much time do we spend wasting worrying about how things are going to turn out instead of just saying, "Okay, God's got it"? And just in case there was any doubt here as to what the Lord could accomplish here, Gabriel tells her, he said, you know, you want a little proof. He said, "You know, your cousin Elizabeth, who hasn't been able to have children all these years, she's pregnant. And she's 6 months along." And I love verse 37. "For with God, nothing should be impossible." You know, I'm sure every one of us in this room have hit a wall at one time or another at trying to pull things off on our own. But Gabriel was here to remind her this day that yes, this pregnancy would be completely impossible if it was left up to her. But he said, "Mary, with God, nothing is impossible. The sky's the limit. That's all you need to know." Look how she responds. And the Bible says there in verse 38, "And Mary said, 'Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word.' And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days, went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be performed of those things which were told her from the Lord.' And Mary said, 'My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. She had the right response to a very big message. You know, so many times, you know, God asks us to do something and we enter a position, if you would, of prayer paralysis and never get up to respond. God tells you that you feel God leading you to do something. I need to pray about that. And you never get off the praying for it. You stay there. It doesn't even appear that Mary even hesitated in her answer. In fact, she describes herself as being a handmaid of the Lord. Said, "Be it unto me." She was willing. She was ready to do whatever God asked her to do. You can almost envision a smile on God's face as she responded. She tells Gabriel that she's ready for what God's called her to do. You know, let it be as God said. You know, with that being said, you gotta completely understand what this stance of obedience would have meant for her. For starters, within, you know, her own people, within the Jewish community, she would have been worthy of death in showing up pregnant during an espousal period. This would have been looked upon as a very serious violation among her people. It would be a situation that would bring shame to both her and Joseph amongst the eyes of their peers. You know, times have changed. People have babies out of wedlock all the time in our society, and society doesn't give it another thought. But for this couple, it was going to be a huge deal. You know, after hearing her response, the Bible tells us that Gabriel left her. And after he left, we read that she headed out to see Elizabeth and rejoiced with her about her pregnancy. Think about it. She didn't have Facebook and everything else that we have nowadays. She might not have known about, you know, Elizabeth and Zacharias' bundle of joy until he had arrived. But the Bible tells us when she arrived in June and went into their home, that as Mary was greeting Elizabeth with excitement, the baby inside Elizabeth's womb leaped with joy. Both Elizabeth and her baby knew the news that Mary had was genuine. They knew that she was carrying the Christ child. Elizabeth understood what an honor this was, that Mary had been chosen among all women. To the point she said, I feel unworthy for such a visit. And then she shares with Mary, she said, you know, I know it to be true. She said, as soon as you walked in the room, she said, the babe leaped with joy in my womb. She wanted Mary to know that both she and her baby in the womb understood the validity of the story. And then Mary burst out in song and said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior." She understood. She grasped the gravity of what it meant for God to have handpicked her. And was willing to accept the worldly consequences, whatever they may be. You know, as Gabriel revealed the plan of just how God was going to pull it off, and Mary having a question, how can this be? You know God's answer to her was, "Nothing's impossible with me, Mary." How many times have we questioned God's ability to use us and have questioned Him similar to Mary? "God, that sounds great, but I don't know how I could do that." You know, let me tell you something. If God's calling you to do something, His answer to you is the same. Nothing's impossible with me. So I can encourage you of a couple things. It'd be this today. When God calls, well, put yourself, first of all, in a place where you're usable. Living a life. I mean, so many times, I believe we ask God to bless things that He simply cannot. But put ourselves in a position where we're blessable, where we're in a usable place. And when He beckons, lay something on your heart. Be willing to respond in the same way as this graceful young lady did this day. And to say, "God, be it unto me. Do with me as you please. And see what He does." Because I can tell you, when we have absolutely nothing to bring and offer but ourselves, He's going to be the one that gets all the glory and honor, not us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank You for this time. Lord, I pray that we'd be a people ready to respond in a way that honors You on all sides. God, I thank You. Your answer to us is still the same as it was to Mary this day, Lord, that nothing is impossible with You. God, I pray we'd be a people ready and willing to submit to every call You lay on our lives. God, I thank You that Mary had the heart she did. God, she'd have to remember all through the years, Lord, as she'd be raising Jesus. Eventually following Him to the cross. Watching Him laid in a tomb. God, that message that all things are possible with You would have to resonate in her heart. God, I thank You for the way You love us, the way You take care of us. God, I thank You for Your patience with us. God, I pray that we'd be a people, that Your light would shine through. God, I thank You for Your word. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.